Our scripture reading today is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, the verses 3 through 9 and 18 through 23. Let us hear the word of God. And he that is Jesus spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then we go to verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Dear friends, the parable of the sower, or perhaps better known as the parable of the soils, is one of the most well-known parables in Scripture. Even those who do not know much about the Bible will probably at least be able to recall its basic features. Most likely this is because the imagery is so simple that a child can understand it. And yet at the same time, it is so profound that one could write an entire book on it and still not exhaust its meaning. The parable is the first in a series of seven parables in Matthew 13, all describing aspects of the kingdom of heaven. Not the future consummated kingdom, but the kingdom as it exists now, on this earth, in this time, still in the process of growth and expansion. First, there is the parable of the sower. And then there is the parable of the wheat and the tares, followed by the parable of the mustard seed, the parable of the leaven, the parable of the hidden treasure, the parable of the pearl of great price, and finally, the parable of the dragnet. The first four of these parables were told to the multitude in general. The last of them were told to the disciples alone. Now, the parable of the sower has a very prominent place among the parables of our Lord. For one thing, it is recorded in all three synoptic gospels. For another thing, it is the first of only two parables, the other being the parable of the wheat and the tares, for which our Lord provides an explanation. And as such, it constitutes a paradigm or pattern by which to interpret all of the parables. The parable itself is fairly straightforward. Jesus says a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, some fell in stony ground, some fell among the weeds, and some fell in good soil and produced fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. The point of the parable is to illustrate four typical responses to the message of the kingdom of God. Three, the seed that fell by the wayside, the seed that fell in stony soil, and the seed that fell among thorns are negative. One, the seed that fell in good soil, is positive. Ultimately, however, since three are bad responses and only one is good, there are only two responses possible, bad and good. And the question our Lord seems to be posing to us in this parable is this: what is your response to the gospel of the kingdom? What kind of hearer are you? Now, with that thought in mind, and the Lord's help, let's consider this parable under the theme, four typical responses to the message of the kingdom. And we'll consider, first of all, three bad responses, and secondly, one good response. The parable of the sower was told by our Lord somewhere near the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was lodging in a house, perhaps the home of one of his disciples. At one point, he left the house and went to sit by the seaside. Eventually, a great multitude gathered together, desiring to hear him speak. And so in order to communicate to the people more effectively, Jesus stepped into a boat and launched a little way from the shore. Once he was there, he spoke to them the parable of the sower. And this is what he said. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Well, what does this parable mean? First of all, what is the seed? Well, the seed is clearly the Word of God. That's what Jesus himself says in verse 19 when he begins to explain the parable. There he clearly states that the seed is the Word of God. Peter draws the same analogy in 1 Peter 1, verses 23 through 25. After exhorting his readers to love one another with a pure heart fervently, Peter writes this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So Peter here compares the word of God to a seed. Now, why is the word of God compared to a seed? In what way is the word of God like a seed? Well, because like a seed, the word of God has life-giving potential. When you plant a seed in the ground, eventually it will sprout and become a full-grown plant. Some of these plants, like the mustard plant, can become quite large, so that, as Jesus says, even the birds build nests in its branches. That's also true for the Word of God. By means of the Word of God, God, through His Holy Spirit, produces life in the heart of a dead sinner. That's why our forefathers, following the Apostle Peter, called the Word the seed of regeneration. It's by means of the Word of God that God regenerates sinners, making them spiritually alive, enabling them to respond to the call of the gospel in faith and repentance. Now, how does that happen? Well, it happens in different ways for different people. In some cases, the Holy Spirit applies the Word very powerfully. In an instant, it seems, they're so gripped by a certain sermon or a certain text of the Bible that they fall on their knees, confessing their sin and beseeching the Lord for His mercy. The Philippian jailer comes to mind. In other cases, the Lord works more gradually. He slowly opens our mind. He breaks down our natural rebellion. And He causes us to come to an end in ourselves. We think of John Bunyan, for example, the author of Pilgrim's Progress. But however the Lord works, one thing is certain. He almost always uses His Word. Well, if the seed is the Word, who is the sower? The sower clearly is the Lord Jesus Christ. Although Jesus does not say this in so many words, it is certainly implied. After all, from the very beginning of His earthly ministry, He preached the kingdom of God. What is more, in verse 37, in the parable of the wheat and the tares, He identifies Himself, the Son of Man, as the one who sows the seed. But more broadly, the sower is anyone who proclaims the gospel. Whether officially, as in the case of ministers or missionaries and evangelists, or unofficially, for example, when speaking to your friends and neighbors and co-workers about the gospel of our Lord. Anyone who brings the gospel to someone else is a sower of the seed. And that stands to reason, because proclaiming the gospel is very much like sowing seed. When we proclaim or share the gospel with others, we are, in a way, sowing the seed of the Word of God. Well, what then is the soil? Again, although this is not stated in so many words, the soil is the heart of man. That's because the seed is sown in the heart of men. It is in the heart of man that the Holy Spirit plants the Word of God and causes it to bear fruit. Now, as already mentioned, Jesus identifies four types of soil in this parable. Three of them are bad, and one of them is good. The first bad soil is what he calls the wayside soil. Jesus says that as the sower sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Now, the wayside is a path that runs right through the middle of a field. In ancient times, farmers would leave a narrow stretch of their field unplowed, and they would use that as a footpath in order to gain easier access to their crops. When the farmer sowed his seed, some of the seed inevitably fell on these footpaths because they cast it out of a seed bag. But since the soil was hard, the seed would not take root, and eventually the birds would come and gobble up the seeds. Now, in his explanation of the parable, Jesus compares this type of soil to the person who hears the word but does not understand it. Now, this does not mean he doesn't understand what the preacher is saying. He does. In fact, he understands it fully. He understands what the preacher is saying. He knows the meaning of the words that he is using. He knows what the preacher is saying and what he must do in response. But he doesn't get it. He does not see the importance of it or the urgency of it. He does not take it seriously. He does not take it to heart. Nor does he respond to it. He simply lets it go in one ear and out the other. And as a result, as soon as the word is sown, Satan comes and snatches it away. Now, sometimes that happens during the sermon itself. Even before the minister gets through his introduction, they're already thinking about other things. Sometimes it can happen after the sermon. As soon as the service is over, he leaves the sanctuary, and he starts talking about all kinds of things except for the sermon. And if you ask him the very next day what the minister preached about the day before, he won't have a clue. He won't even be able to tell you the text that he preached on, let alone the theme and the points. Now, such are the wayside hearers. Their hearts are like the hard-packed soil of a footpath. They are hardened against God, hardened against the gospel, hardened against the preaching. And the longer they remain in that condition, the longer they refuse to take the things of God seriously and allow Satan to pluck away the seed that is sown, the harder their hearts become. The second bad soil mentioned here is the stony soil. By stony soil, Jesus does not mean soil with stones in it. That kind of soil can still be very fertile. Stony soil provides good drainage, especially in wet areas. Stones can also help to break up the soil, allowing more moisture and nutrients to penetrate into the ground. But Jesus here is referring to soil that lay on top of a partially submerged stone. Now, that type of soil was very common in Palestine. Often in Palestine, large stones would lie just beneath the surface of the soil. But there would usually be just enough soil on top of the stone to cause a seed to sprout. And seeds that fell on such soil would usually sprout very quickly, because the stone under the soil would retain heat and moisture, helping the seed to get a quick start. But because the soil was so shallow, as soon as the sun came up, the tiny sprout would wither and die, because the stone prevented its roots from penetrating far enough into the soil to get the necessary moisture. Jesus compares this soil to those who hear the word, even with joy, he says, but later, when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he is offended. Now, there are many such people today. They hear a sermon, or they attend a so-called revival meeting or a crusade, and they are immediately affected by what they hear. They come forward during the so-called altar call, and they say the so-called sinner's prayer. They may even shed a tear or two, but it doesn't last. As soon as they are made to suffer for the cause of Christ, they renounce their profession, and they resume their former way of life. Why does that happen? Jesus tells us, because they have no root in themselves, meaning they do not have a root of faith in their hearts. And as a result, what they hear does not make a lasting impression. Whatever impression it does make is only fleeting. The third bad soil is the thorny soil. And like the stony soil, the thorny soil also appears, at least at first glance, to be good soil. If it was not, then the thorns would not be able to grow in it. The problem is that in this soil there are other seeds, the seeds of thorns, thistles. These seeds even have an advantage over the good seeds, because they were there first. They also grow faster than the good seeds. And as a result, as soon as the good seed starts to sprout, the weeds choke them, and they never come to full maturity. Jesus compares these weeds to two things. First of all, he compares them to the care of this world. In Matthew and Mark, and Mark and Luke's gospel rather, Jesus refers to this as the anxieties of the age. This refers to those things which people regularly worry about. Things like food and drink and shelter and clothing and employment and paying the bills. These weeds are also compared to the deceitfulness of riches. Mark has the desire for other things. Luke's gospel has the pleasures of life. This is succumbing to the belief that money can solve all of our problems, and that it alone can bring us happiness, joy, and satisfaction. Both of these, Jesus says, have the effect of choking out the seed of the word. And it's not difficult to understand why. The care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches so easily preoccupy our minds and take up so much of our time. And as a result, we don't think much about the needs of our soul and the coming judgment. All of our time and all of our energy is consumed by the cares of this world and the pursuit of earthly things. In both cases, however, the effect is the same. The seed of the word is choked out. Well, these then are the bad soils. And notice they all have one thing in common. The persons represented by these soils all hear the gospel. They all understand what is being said. They even have a certain appreciation for what is being said. But whatever impression is made is short-lived. The gospel does not have a lasting impact on their heart and in their life. It's only fleeting. It's here today and gone tomorrow. In true conversion, however, there is a real and lasting change. For some, as we've seen, this change is instant and dramatic. For others, it is more gradual, sometimes taking years and accompanied by many struggles. But there is a change. We become new creatures in Christ, with a new attitude, new priorities, a new outlook, a new perspective, and a new lifestyle. And therefore, I ask you today, do you know of that change in your own life? Has the Word of God had an impact on you? And has this impact lasted? If not, my friend, I have to tell you, you are a bad soil. And that's a very serious matter. For if you remain as a bad soil, you will perish in your sins. And that's precisely why the Lord is telling us this parable. He's warning us against hearing the Word of God in the wrong way. Not allowing the Word of God to have a lasting impression upon our hearts. And so if you're a bad soil today, I urge you, wake up. Consider your great danger. Repent and believe. before it is too late. Ask the Lord to open your ears so that you might be saved. So our Lord describes four bad soils, but he also describes one good soil. And that brings us to our second point. Although much of the seed that the sower scatters does not bear fruit, some of it, thankfully, does. And the reason for this is because it falls into good soil. Now, the good soil is not at all like the other soils we have just mentioned. It is not hard like the first soil, it is soft. It is not shallow like the second soil, but it is deep. It is not thorny like the third soil, but it is clean, well plowed, and free of all impurity. Now, this is a picture of the heart that has been prepared by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus says two things about the person with such a heart. First of all, he says, he hears the word and he understands it. Or we could say, he hears with understanding. Not just intellectual understanding, but spiritual understanding. He hears the word of God preached and he gets it. He understands what is expected of him and why, and he responds to it. He turns to the Lord in repentance and faith. He confesses his sins and he looks to Christ as the only hope and ground of his salvation. Secondly, Jesus says, he bears fruit. Now this fruit is both internal and external. Internally, he bears the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, meekness, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, and so on. Externally, he produces good works. He forsakes sin, and he strives to live in obedience to the commandments of God. He loves God with all of his heart, all of his mind, all of his soul, and all of his strength. And he loves his neighbor as himself. He loves God's word. He loves his church, his people, his cause, his kingdom. He devotes himself, his time, his money, his talents to the work of this kingdom. And he strives to glorify God in everything that he does and says and thinks. Now, to be sure, not all who have such a heart bear the same amount or even the same quality of fruit. Jesus says some bear 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And there are reasons for this. Some simply possess more grace than others. Some simply are more gifted and capable than others. Some are just more active and willing to do things than others. But whatever the case, they all bear some fruit to the glory and praise of God. Now, as I bring this sermon to a close, I must ask you today, what type of soil are you? Are you bad soil, or are you good soil? My friend, if you are bad soil, what kind of bad soil are you? Are you like the wayside soil? Or perhaps you're like the stony soil, or the thorny soil? If you are a good soil, what kind of good soil are you? Are you producing fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold? I suspect if we are honest today that most of us here can identify with most of these soils. There are times in our lives when we're like the hard-packed soil. And there are other times when we're like the stony soil. And there are times when we are like the thorny soil. And thankfully, there are also times when we're like the good soil. At times producing 30-fold, sometimes 60, and even at times 100. Although we would probably never say so ourselves. But let me ask you this question. What kind of soil should we be? If you're a believer today, you are one of the most privileged people on earth. You have the privilege of hearing the Word of God preached twice every Lord's Day. You have Bibles in your homes. Some of you have several Bibles. You have countless opportunities to study the Word of God. Sunday school, youth group, Bible studies. You have access to countless numbers of good, sound books that can help you to grow in grace and in your understanding of the Word of God. But the question is, what effect has that had on you? Has it produced fruit? And if so, how much? Oh, must we not admit today, in light of all that we have received, that we should all be producing fruit 100-fold to the glory of God? Ah, but how many of us actually do that? Must it not be said of us, so often we produce so little fruit? And is that not a sad indictment? Should this not cause us to bow our heads in shame before God? Oh, indeed it should. What then should we do? Well, we need to repent, first of all. And we need to confess our sin and our failure and our shortcoming before God. And then looking to Him and looking to His grace and pleading for the indwelling work of His Holy Spirit, we must produce even more fruit. We can't do that in and of ourselves. Of course not. For that we need God's grace. But the glorious message of the gospel is that He is able and willing to provide it if we ask Him. This is why the Lord Jesus died on the cross. And this is why He ascended up into heaven. This is why He is seated at the throne of His Father. So that with the power with which He has been given, He may give that power also to His people and enable them to bear fruit to His glory. And so, my friends, let our daily prayer be, Lord, give me ears to hear. And give me grace to respond to Your Word and to produce fruit. May it be 100-fold to Your glory. For You, O Lord, are worthy to receive it. Amen. Dear friends, we're always pleased to hear from our listeners. If you were blessed by the message you heard today, or if you were blessed by previous messages on this program, won't you please let us know? Our mailing address is Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road, and that's spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or feel free to give me a call at 778-982-9102. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. If you would like to listen to the message you have just heard again, or if you would like more information about our program, including how to contact us and how to listen to other messages on this program, please visit our website at banneroftruthradio.com. That's all one word, banneroftruthradio.com. If you would like more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, which sponsors this broadcast, please log on to our denominational website at www.frcna.org. And now, until next week, may the Lord be with you all.